We are entering the lesson number 3, a collective outcry to the Creator. It's a very strong means for our advancement towards the entrance to spirituality. And we have a few things here. First of all, how this collective outcry to the Creator goes together with our way of life. The wisdom of Kabbalah opens up to a person the possibility to discover the true reality in which he lives, that the world that he is in won't be a hidden world, but rather that it will start being a revealed world. And he will see in what reality he exists, in what state, what place, under which forces, what is working on him, what is he going through, not his body, the beasts that lives for so many years, but rather he starts to identify with the eternal part within him. Eternal means that part in him that needs to develop in order to bestow more and more, because only that part resembles the Creator, and only that reaches complete and eternal life. And there are people who come to the wisdom of Kabbalah as to some adventure, some things that it's like coming to a course, a class, maybe in the university, something which is temporary. They don't realize that by that they're actually changing their lives bit by bit until a habit becomes second nature, and a habit means connection with others. This is the essential difference between the reality that is perceived in our egoistic will to receive versus the will to bestow, the spiritual desire. Then by these habits that we try to determine in the connection between us, in the tense between us, by that the upper world is revealed. And we gradually, even on a daily basis, shift. And now we're not yet aware of it, just like a little child who is not aware of how much he's developing, growing. We measure him, we check him, and he knows how to say a few more words, maybe to read a bit more, or to identify something, and he's not aware of it. This is how we are. We're not aware of what we're going through and what we're acquiring each and every day, even though we do feel a little bit, but we don't understand that this is the true and correct form of advancement. As Bala Sulam writes, that it's going to take 10 years, 20 years, maybe even 30 years to reach that new state where he opens up this world already and can see the true reality. That he has the opening up of the eyes in the Torah, meaning in the upper light, the force of bestowal, the force of love. This is called the opening up of the eyes in the Torah. And then he is entirely seeing with his eyes open, wide open. And it takes time. It's not that you enter some course, then you leave it, and you can take another course, but rather it opens up for you life, a true reality where everyone is, but they are not aware of it, and you are. If you want to receive this reality and be included in it, then go ahead. The wisdom of Kabbalah is for you. But if not, then no. then nevertheless life's events and the reshimot that exist in each and every one will later on bring that person there, if not now, later. This awakening that is given to one from above, from the heavens, does not compel the person 100%. Rather, he is given, and then he's let go, then he's given, and then he's let go, until he says, I want it. Therefore, we need to realize that we didn't come to some incidents or some limited course, a short one, and then we can leave it and go back to our lives. Rather, in that, we are going and entering a new reality. And for that, we were given life. This is how we should understand this process that we're going through. Of course, in this process, we constantly have questions and doubts, ups and downs, but we need to know that you are entering a lane that brings you to the revelation of reality. And towards that, you are now developing. And the development comes only through connection, in order to reach a state where you discover that it is everything is one soul, the soul of Adam Rishon. And we are all together, we're all interdependent, all connected. And this is becoming revealed to everyone, to the whole of humanity, but in a different way. For us, it is because we want to go towards it, we understand where it is coming from and what is the process that we have to go through, we somehow learn it. And to the whole of humanity, it comes coercively, necessarily. They enter it through all kinds of blows, usually, and pressures towards connecting and studying what is this new reality in a harsh way, in the way of Beito in its time. But this is the most important thing I wanted to say, that we need to realize that the process that we're going through is a process which is as a path, a way that brings us to the opening up of the eyes, to see the great reality, and then it opens up for us as a complete, eternal, infinite, unlimited reality, and we simply continue in it, above time, place, and motion. This is the way. If a person digests this, if he looks at the state that he's in, then he begins to add to that approach all of the events, everything that is becoming revealed to him. And then he begins to see how it is all arranged specifically towards this goal. Now, along the way, we sometimes have, not sometimes, on a daily basis, each and every day, we have all kinds of questions, problems, even eruptions or all kinds of events. With the friends, we come out, we get in to our group, our circles, more people, more or less. And we need to understand that this state is just like with the whole world, where people are born, people die, they come in and then they go out. There is nothing special in that. Kabbalists relate to it in a very calm manner. If they come, they come. If they leave, they leave. And also, they live and they die. This is the process. Externally, it may seem to us as great innovations, but internally, you can say that it hardly affects the soul. It goes through its frictions, its changes, its corrections, and this is how it advances. This is how it is with each and everyone. So, we should try to stay tranquil, to see the changes that we're going through, and try to see it from the eternal and complete perspective. And we also have a few things in the connection between us that people sometimes understand not quite correctly. So, I wanted to let Shimon Karmon say a few words about that.
Rav, we have this phenomenon, I think a new one, that from a desire to buy a friend, to connect, then friends are paying cash to make sure friends come to the lesson on time and come to the lesson.
But it says, buy yourself a friend. What can you say? If he wants, if he truly wants to buy them, and he thinks that it's possible to buy them with money, well, at least enough money, or
100 shekel.
Is that the price of a friend? Well, so, well, keep going, yeah.
How do you say this? Is this correct? Can I stop paying cash to my friends, to my ten?
No, we had incidents where friends... We had cases where friends wanted to have meals two or three times a week to their ten, or in general have meals, and Rabash was very much against it. There is a certain order, and that order must be iron-like in both directions. There is a Shabbat, so we have Shabbat. Around it, you can do a little bit more or a little bit less, that is to the point. If you have a bar mitzvah or someone's birthday, someone is born in the family, such things. But usually, we do not add anything. Again, like I said, as I started with, our life is simply life towards the entrance to spirituality. And for us to really enter spirituality, we're at the entrance to it. So nothing really changes. In corporeality, nothing needs to change. And this is why what we study, you know, all of these possessions and in general all of our actions are usually in spirit, in the awakening. So such things, we should really erase them, remove them, kind of reverse them, as if they never happened. Well, we learn from it. This is how we learn. During the times of Rabash, there were also all kinds of such new people that would try all kinds of things, how to accelerate the development, and we would quench it, kind of turn it off in a nice, convenient way, so that not to also hurt people who might understand things incorrectly. Some people would sit all day and pray in the synagogue. There were those who constantly wanted to go around with talit and tefillin, all kinds of People come from the street, you see, and they have all kinds of prejudice or ideas that they acquired before. Somebody saw his grandpa walking in some way and he thinks that's holy. But here we're talking about opening the eyes of a modern person who comes from the modern world, and he has only one possibility to reach the spiritual world, that is to acquire the quality of bestow, and with it to see the whole of reality, as it says, an opposite reality. I saw an upside-down world, and this is by connecting with others and expecting them to influence him and help him to shift into the quality of bestow. So it's actually a good inclination. If I pay, right? It's not that with this money he really thinks about, you know, that he will buy the friends, but it's written like that. So let's awaken them this way. So the intention is a good one, but that's not how we behave. Try to awaken them through all kinds of verses, by praying, when you pray for them. That is, that there would be a connection between you and them and the Creator. This triangle, you have to constantly activate it, then you will succeed. So, we are not doing what you said. And the most important is to understand that the path is not some kind of accelerated brief course that we, you know, complete it and then we go back to our life, but rather we are entering the revelation of spirituality and continuing in it more and more through all of the olamot, the worlds, who knows how far till the end of correction. Okay. And the most important thing is that we have a congress ahead of us, and here there is a great opportunity to bring all of our expectations, all of our efforts, all of our you know, vast experience to this approach, this new approach towards connection. In the connection, everything becomes clarified and corrected. We only have to bring everything to the connection, and there all the crimes, all of our states, all of our exertions, everything would connect, and it would bring us a new state. So, go ahead. Preparation for the Congress in the desert.
We are in the lesson preparation, the convention, connecting to the central point, the desert convention, lesson number 3, our mutual outcry to the Creator. There is nothing, Baal HaSulam, letter 57. Anything small or great is only obtained by prayer. All our labor and work to which we are obliged are only to discover our lack of strength and our lowliness, that we are unfit for anything in and of ourselves. For then we can pour out a wholehearted prayer before Him. Anything small or great is only obtained by prayer. All our labor and work to which we are obliged are only to discover our lack of strength and our loneliness, that we are unfit for anything in and of ourselves, for then we can pour out a wholehearted prayer before Him.
This means that the more we advance, by that, according to the right process, we feel ourselves as lowly, lacking strength, lacking understanding, lacking feeling, lacking everything in ourselves, in and out of ourselves. And against that, we somehow begin to hold on to the spiritual force that we are before, but it's still not really in our hands so that we can work with it. So we are advancing into a state which is a state of helplessness, and the people of Israel sighed from the work. This is the sign that we are coming closer to the opening specifically. And here there is a question: who's going to hold on and who will not? The one who holds on is the one who is holding on to everyone. And one who is wise or prideful, that becomes a bit more separated than usual from the collective, from the big group, he is going to fly out. The forces of nature allow entrance to spirituality only to those who are ready for connection. Not that they are in connection, but they're ready for it. He's ready that he's willing for these forces to work on him. He wants these forces to influence him negatively and positively, seemingly positively and negatively, to influence him and work on him and rearrange him so that he will be ready to take his slot in the general kli, in the soul of Adam HaRishon. One who is ready for this comes in. And here the most important is that it's all going against one's pride. This is the greatest obstacle when a person thinks that he's not just some small cell from the soul of Adam HaRishon, rather that he determines and he understands, and it should be according to how he thinks the way it should be. This approach greatly fails a person. So anything great or small or great can be obtained only by the force of prayer. When a person is willing for all of the corrections to be done over him, he gives himself, and all our labor and work to which we are obligated are only in order to discover our lack of strength or diminution, our lack of strength and aloneness, that we are unfit for anything in and out of ourselves. For then we can pour out a wholehearted prayer before Him, the Creator. This is how it is. Okay? Gershon, what?
Describing a state that a person that advances in the path, he reaches a state that he doesn't feel anything, he doesn't understand anything.
No. Not the way that you're saying it. The fact that he has no grip on spirituality in his mind and his emotion, that is true. But he only knows one thing. He has an anchor, which is the 10. And he holds on to this 10 like a baby grabbing onto his mother, like a little monkey holding on to his mother like this. And this is how we should be in the group, that if not for the group, I'm just going to fall off to this life and I become, well, religious or secular, it doesn't matter, but that's it. I fall off the path. So,
that's exactly the question, because we need this anchor at the stage you're describing. How do we form the group as this anchor?
Not only that you need it, later on this anchor broadens, it becomes my connection with the entire soul of Adam HaRishon. I have to fill up my role there for all of the souls to receive from them and to give them. This is the law of a healthy cell in a healthy body, also in corporeality. So, accordingly, I need to behave. Therefore, I need to pay attention. Our issue is the following. Whether you want to or not, you'll reach that anyway. But if we are on the path towards me going and using the advice of Kabbalists. You know, what can I do in order to proceed the blow with the remedy, as we call it, to be in Achishena, in hastening, before I enter Be'ito in its time. So I'm told, strengthen your connection with the society. You'll have to do it through blows. If it's through blows, it will take you so many years, dozens or hundreds of years, through multiple incarnations. And if it's through your efforts, it can take only a few years. Yes.
So continuing the introduction that you gave to the lesson, the opening, we see that there are states that even though everything is done, the 10 still does not act as an anchor. It's not an anchor for the friend. The friend doesn't feel confidence in it. And seemingly everything is set up correctly. Everything Kabbalists say, seemingly things are done. But the inner sensation of a person is that the 10 does not act as this anchor for a person. What are we lacking to form this?
Nevertheless, you have to invest these efforts. I cannot say what else is lacking. There are other judgments and calculations up above that are above our mind and our understanding. And of course, there are additional calculations, but a person, nevertheless, should realize that if he's here, then everything is arranged in such a way before him that it's really worthwhile to invest. Or if he hears about it, he should look at those that, you know, what do they have in their desires or calculations or with the women. I mean, so based on what does he want to live and what does he understand in reality compared to the way it's there. All of our work is, and it's always has been this way between Kabbalists versus other people, quote unquote, other people. It's always like that. This is the whole issue of religion or religions in general, and the opening up of the eyes and the right approach. Who is for the Lord? Come to me. You can't do anything about it. And pride. You need to see, usually pride pulls a person out. And also, you know, prideful people who think that they understand and they feel, and what do you mean? They are used to give orders in their lives. And now, here they cannot give orders. Rather, they need to keep orders. They need to subjugate themselves. They need to make themselves into zero. How can it be? I am zero? People who all of their lives lived in pride, and suddenly, now, suddenly, they need to be in the group as the smallest one and everything. How can it be? Man's pride will lower him. There's nothing you can do about it. But only one who is capable to subjugate himself more and more. So the whole world is pouring trash, garbage on you more and more. Fine. It doesn't hinder you. Actually, from that trash comes the vegetative. What?
Yesterday in the workshop, you asked, if we need to build a 10, what qualities would I want there to be in the friends? And then we said here, maybe patience. And I'm asking in this context, the person doesn't know all the paths and everything that happens. He doesn't even know if he's willing for the forces of nature, like you said, to work on him. How can one develop such patience?
Through example, we talk about it. This is actually a way of life. You see, it's the way humanity is. Now humanity is being brought to a state where There is no choice. You don't have so many paths ahead of you. And you see that the world is shutting in. It's becoming small. And everyone can see that this is one small round planet, and there's not much that we can do before we end up destroying it altogether. Gradually, people digest these things, and with that, a possibility is becoming revealed to mitigate reality, to mitigate our ability to reach a new reality that exists not in the force of reception, but rather in the force of bestowal. There is another force in nature that does not exist in our world, because in our world, the force of bestowal is also under the force of reception. It doesn't complete the force of reception. Whereas when it's truly in the force of bestowal, we don't know how to exist. So this is how we are being brought closer to it. It's out of lack of choice. Everyone will understand that there's going to be an outcry up to the heavens of all of the people in the world, that they no longer know what to do. We're coming closer to that. Good. Yes?
I didn't understand this topic of patience. On the one hand, there's what we heard now. On the other hand, there is Bala Sulam's letter where he gets angry at his students, scolds at them for not acting.
Patience doesn't mean that you're willing to be motionless. Patience means that I'm willing to be on a path undergoing these changes until I correct my soul. So it's a different kind of patience. It's not that I'm willing to just sit, as we say, an idle person sitting idly eating his own flesh. When will something happen? That is foolish patience. It's not going to happen. We are in a state where we're given the possibility to accelerate our development, so let's accelerate it.
So can we also work on accelerating the development and also be patient at the same time?
Of course, patience. Patient for what? Patient for all of the changes that each day and each moment, each second, truly, I'm going through. And I'm patient for that. I realize that these changes are my development. And I can't skip from one state to another. Each state must be revealed. And each state opens up some pipelines within the soul, from me to all of the other parts of the soul, all of these fibers.
And
this is how I should understand that. And when do I feel it? Following many such small actions, it rises to my emotion, my mind, and I understand or I feel that something actually happened. That in my understanding, in my feeling, I can already see that something has changed. But it happens once in a billion small actions that are happening every second. Okay? Good. Let's continue. Wait a minute, we have Vilnius.
Раф, когда вы отвечали на вопрос насчет того, что товарищи...
When you answered the question about friends paying to others to come to the lessons, you then said that in the past there were tens that used to have unplanned meals. And we, for example, on Monday have such a meal after the lesson. So is it too much? Is it not good? Should we stop it?
The examination is a simple one. I'm not saying if we need to do or not, we don't need to do. The test is a simple one. Is the meal in order to truly make a stronger connection between us? And that during the meal we feel that we are connecting more, that we are warming up the connection, that we are expecting it, we're happy with it, that it's not about what we eat or drink there, but rather the connection of the hearts. Is that the most important? So check that. Check it each time. And during the meal, check if with every bite, with every l'chaim that you do, is it in order to bring about connection, in order to bring a person to a state where he will say, yes, truly, through society, I'm beginning to feel in this connection specifically some new discernments that by myself I would not attain. And this is how we advance towards spirituality. Good. Please. Tveria.
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 Good morning, friends. Good morning, Rav. So a question that is asked, what does it mean that from waste you make the vegetative?
It's not that from the trash we make the vegetative, but through the trash when we... when we fertilize plants, from that the plants get the power to grow. That's their food. I'm sure that you planted some trees and you saw how it is done. So later on, also we bring to the field all kinds of forms of fertilizers that give food to the plants. Yes. Which is something that we need to see, that specifically from the trash, from the waste, we grow. Part of our will to receive that needs to be corrected in order to bestow is nourished from waste. Like the fertilizer, the plants.
So among the friends in the group, how is this action made in the group?
Oh, in the group, it's in each and every one and in all of us together. What seems to us as trash, something that we should, that we left aside in previous states, now we realize that it's not this way. Rather, we can use it for our advancement. We will see that in our reality, in our experience. Number two, right?
Excerpt number two, Rabash, article 27. What is the Creator does not tolerate the proud in the work. Before we achieve the recognition of evil, we have no need to ask the Creator to help us, because we think that we ourselves have knowledge and understanding, and what we understand, we have the power to do. We are unafraid of any force that can stop our spirit and purpose in life, and if we understand with our intellect that the Creator is important, we promptly do what befits intelligent people. In the end, we see that when some small passion comes along, we surrender before it, especially when the work of dedicating oneself to the benefit of the Creator comes along, and the body does not see what it will gain by this, a person immediately sees what weak heart he has, and he immediately wants to escape the campaign. Therefore, when he sees his own loneliness, this gives him the need for heaven's mercy to be helped. One, to not escape the campaign and have the ability to at least pray to the Creator, and two, that the Creator will truly help him emerge from the control of the body. again. Before we achieve the recognition of evil, we have no need to ask the Creator to help us, because we think that we ourselves have knowledge and understanding, and what we understand, we have the power to do. We are unafraid of any force that can stop our spirit and purpose in life. And if we understand with our intellect that the Creator is important, we promptly do what befits intelligent people. In the end, we see that when some small passion comes along, we surrender before it, especially when the work of dedicating oneself to the benefit of the Creator comes along, and the body does not see what it will gain by this, a person immediately sees what weak heart he has, and he immediately wants to escape the campaign. Therefore, when he sees his own lowliness, this gives him the need for heaven's mercy to be helped to, one, not escape the campaign, and have the ability to at least pray to the Creator, two, that the Creator will truly help him emerge from the control of the body.
Sadna.
A workshop. On which point of crisis is Rabash talking about? About which point of crisis is Rabash talking? What should I feel at that point? When I feel like running away from the campaign, or that I only have one thing left, to pray to the Creator. One of two, that's what I have before me. Either I help myself and I run away to life that I understand, normal life, well, beastly life, like everyone, or I pray to the Creator that He must help me and elevate me to the next degree. Which state is now working on me so that I'm in it and I'm on these crossroads? Go ahead. Rav, why specifically that gripping point where on the one hand I feel that I truly am being cut off from the group, from the spiritual life, from the entrance through this tiny ability, this tiny hole to enter there like the tip of a needle into the feeling of the true reality that we exist in, but we don't feel it. How do I get stuck but not get stuck? How do I specifically hold on all the time onto this point until it will open up? Once it opens up, we will see. What does it mean that it opens up? It's not that then I just breathe and I'm, you know, free. Life becomes even more special, more spiritual, right? But it fills up the person with a feeling and with understanding. So, how do I hold on to this point? And I specifically want to prefer my gripping point on the 10, that only on the condition that I'm in it and I constantly feel how I might be cut off, specifically at that point, I want to develop. It has to accompany me until I enter spirituality. This point is very painful, it's very sensitive, and that I might disconnect from them and then I will be thrown off to the sides of the road, or I connect with them more and more and more in spite of the conditions that become harder and harder to hold on to the 10 in my more inner scrutiny until I get in. Because spiritual life are revealed in it, in the ten. Now my point is an external point that I hold on to their externality, the externality of the ten. I adhere to it. They, for me, are as a womb, and I'm still on the outside of it. How do I get in? So, how do I not run away from the campaign? What should I tell the Creator? What should I tell the Creator so that I don't run away? Go ahead. It's as if it's a small embryo or a drop of semen that very much wants to enter into the womb, and it tries, but it cannot, and it has to turn to the upper force. We see that here, in birth, in the beginning of the new life, it is only through the upper force. No other remedy will help. And the more we advance, even 1,000 years more, it won't be something where a person is certain of and he can guarantee it to himself, but only by turning to the upper force, to a higher degree. Higher than the body itself, meaning the ten, and the drop itself, which is the person. There is a third force, and specifically here we need to turn to him, to pray to him, then it will work out. So, what does a person do then, that drop that wants to get in into the womb of the group? What does one do? What does he pray for? What man should he raise? Why would he be let in? What does he promise? For the sake of what does he scrutinize that there is inner spiritual life? How does he depict to himself that this life is such and such, and he deserves to be in there? If he depicts it correctly, and if he asks correctly, even above his mind and emotion, this is what is lacking in order to get help. This is called raising man, that I don't have it, but somehow I want it. So, go ahead. What can we tell the Creator so that we deserve to get into the internality of the ten in order to find there the emotion and mind of shared mutual life that we didn't have so far, and we specifically want to exist in them? Go ahead.
Excerpt number 3, Baal HaSulam, Shamati, Anigol 5. Lishma is an awakening from above, and why do we need an awakening from below? One must do every possible thing in the world to attain for the sake of the Creator. Then one can pray from the bottom of the heart, and then the Creator hears his prayer. However, one must know, when exerting to attain the Lishma for the Creator's sake, to take upon himself to want to work entirely to bestow, completely, meaning only to bestow and not to receive anything. Only then does one begin to see that the organs do not agree to this view. From this, one can come to clear awareness that he has no other choice but to pour out his heart to the Creator to help him, so that the body will agree to enslave itself to the Creator unconditionally. As he sees that he cannot persuade his body to annul itself completely. It turns out that precisely when one sees that there is no hope that his body will agree to work for the Creator by itself, one's prayer can be formed from the bottom of the heart. Then his prayer is accepted. Again. One must do every possible thing in the world to attain for the sake of the Creator. Then one can pray from the bottom of the heart. And then the Creator hears his prayer. However, one must know, when exerting to attain Lishma, to take upon himself to want to work entirely to bestow, completely, meaning only to bestow and not to receive anything. Only then does one begin to see that the organs do not agree to this view. From this, one can come to clear awareness that he has no other choice but to pour out his heart to the Creator to help him, so that his body will agree to enslave itself to the Creator unconditionally, as he sees that he cannot persuade his body to annul itself completely. It turns out that precisely when one sees that there is no hope that his body will agree to work for the Creator by itself, one's prayer can be formed from the bottom of the heart, and then his prayer is accepted.
Let us speak very quickly, however, in the ten. Each one completes with a sentence towards that state where we turn to the Creator. What do we tell Him? So that He has no choice, the Creator, except to help us reach the spiritual quality. By what do we persuade Him? So that He must help us reach the spiritual quality. Each ten, because the calculation is with respect to the ten, not with respect to an individual. So, go ahead. You have the Creator before you, and you have, you know, you can argue. Rav, is there anyone in any ten who could say on behalf of the ten their collective appeal to focus, concentrate that address to the Creator in a clear way? Yes, please. Asaf, go ahead.
I'll try to remember, but what happened here was something interesting. Friends that usually speak extendedly, then they were able to really speak only one sentence, and we were able to feel the state together. It was something like this. The Creator, we need one another. You need our desire, and we need your quality of bestowal. And help us, we're forcing you to help us. To be a single kli. That's more or less what I remember.
The Creator has to help, in short.
You have to help us. You must help us.
Okay. You're speaking on behalf of the ten, or do you want to speak for yourself, on behalf of everyone? Okay, so go ahead. One sentence
is we need to realize our role, help us, give us the light of correction and connection in order to give you contentment.
Okay. We are now moving on to the introduction to tests.
Moving on to the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, beforehand we'll sing together a song.
רצה ולא משעבוד ולא מתוך טלטול אין ישראל מגלים לא מהטירוף לא מתוך הדוחק ולא מתוך שאלה אין מזונות אלא מתוך הסרה בידם שהם יושבים זה אצל זה ויהיה כל אחד מהם קורא ושומע עם חברו וקולם ישמע קולם ישמע קולם ישמע קולם ישמע ישראל מגלים לא מתוך הצד לא משעבוד